Guys,
Super Late Models,
Thundercars,
Modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
Archives,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
And away we go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the RTR studio, and all set and ready to go. Four, how about 2 hours of nonstop race talk? That's what we're going to do tonight, Junior.
I tell you what, I feel a heck of a lot better than what I did last week at this time.
Yeah.
Last week, I had the plague.
Yeah, you did.
I fought that all week, but you know what? This is going to be a heck of a show. I'm really excited about the lineup that we have. I cannot believe the amount of Canadians that made the trip down to Nashville.
Yeah, quite a few, eh? Quite a few. And we're going to hear from some tonight.
Absolutely. It's not new that Canadians go down to the All-American 400 or the Snowball Derby, you know, the World Series or even on the dirt side. You know, it's not new to see Canadians travel down there. But I will say that there's a massive amount of Canadians that took place or that took part this weekend at Nashville, and I've never seen that before.
Yeah, and not just competing. There was a lot of fans go down as well.
His
wife went down. I know J.R. Fitzpatrick.
Yep. And Petey Shepard.
Stretch and Michelle now are engaged.
Yeah, congratulations.
They did that down there.
Yep.
So it was a big old weekend down in Nashville.
100%. You know what? It's really surprising because really you would think that this would be happening 2 or 3 years ago when the dollar was a little bit more attractive,
No kidding.
Like right now the dollar is at a terrible level. If it was par, there'd even be more guys.
Yeah.
So really cool to see and by all accounts everybody did an amazing job. I know there's still a few more laps left in the All-American 400 in the Super Late Model race right now. But by all accounts, all the Canadians made us proud for sure.
Well, let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. We're going to have a mixture of champions and some of those competitors that were down in Nashville and currently on their way home from Nashville. We'll catch up with, Kenny Grube is going to be our first guest tonight. He is the Superstock champion at Sauble Speedway, Division 2 NASCAR. And he was the guy that took the championship away. We'll catch up with Kenny Grube here in mere moments. We'll also hear from Ontario Outlaw Super Late Model champion. We got John Cadman coming on this show, driver the number 71. Right in behind John, we're going to catch up with the Bone Stock champion from Sauble Speedway, Nick Hamill, driver the number 18. He's going to jump on here with us.
That's cool. Nick has been a good friend of ours for a long time, and he got his feet wet a few years back and only unloaded the car a couple times, and now look at him, he's going out there and getting a championship, and just a guy that loves racing.
I don't think we've ever had Nick on this show.
No.
I don't think we have.
No.
But we're going to tonight.
That's
looking forward to it. In hour number two, we're going to hear from Taylor Holdaway, driver of the number 41 Pro Late Model that was in Nashville. He qualified real good. I want to say he was up in that top five, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And disaster broke out with 30 laps to go in his race. And wadded the car up pretty good.
Well, he qualified up there and had a little bit of difficulty getting through tech.
They took away his
main lap, like his fast lap.
Time. Yep. I'm
not sure what it was. I'm guessing it's heights or weights or something like that. But because they didn't outright DQ him,
right,
they just took away his fast lap. So he rolled off, I believe, 16th in the race today, but. Looking at Holdaway, he's been you know, he's been doing these big events.
Yeah, he has.
Over the course of the last two seasons, we've had him on a couple times talking about, you know, obviously the trip down to Nashville and and a couple other races that he's got, you know, planned. But he's taken a really neat approach to a racing schedule. Doesn't have a whole lot of sponsorship, so he wanted to move up. He wanted a new challenge, right? He was a longtime limited late model competitor, and really wanted to step into some of the bigger events. So he's taken the approach and he's partnered up with Sean McWhorter and Streamline and those guys and who are of course connected with GARC, Grand American Race Cars. That's led to the opportunity of Holdaway, you know, traveling down south a little bit, getting to some of these big events, and then as well, of course, hitting the big events around here in Ontario, like Jukasa and so forth. So Holdaway has taken a really unique approach to pro late model racing, it'll be interesting to hear what he's got coming down the pipe and what he thought of the Fairground Speedway.
The top performing Canadian in the pro late model race today at Nashville was Jake Sheridan. He ended up coming home 12th in that race. We're going to catch up with Jake tonight on his way home.
Yeah, for sure. Jake Sheridan he did not have the luck that he needed up here. just flat out did not have luck this season. Tore up some race cars, and had a decent recovery. Obviously went out, got a couple checkered flags at Delaware Speedway, and then as well, you know, put up some really great numbers in the APC series. But when it came time for a big event, the Jukasa qualifier at Sauble Speedway, of course, ended with his car coming off the track on a cradle, and as well, you know, blowing a right front tire and absolutely destroying the fence at Jukasa for the big race. A kind of a disastrous year in race cars, a really talented kid.
Absolutely.
And really a talented family. Of course, Ron Sheridan, longtime, legend in the sport of late model racing across Canada. And his brother went out and picked up the championship in the sprint cars at Ashwikin this year.
Yeah, so, sure did.
Nick and Jake are just great kids, and I'm looking forward to seeing what those two can do over the next 10 years.
Well, we'll hear from Jake tonight. We'll find out how his weekend all unfolded. And in our final slot tonight, we've got Cole Butcher. He, of course, was the guy that led the field to green in that All-American 400 today. And the Super Late Models driver, the number 53, we hope to have Cole on this show tonight. Led the field to green, got up to lap 10, and then hit the wall in turn 3.
Yeah.
Reading through what Matt Weaver had on there, he had some comments that were on the radio from the 51 and Nassie. And then, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. We're going to find out from Cole exactly what took place. And we look forward to catching up with him. Heartbreak. But I'll tell you what, that's twice he went down there and did extremely well in qualifying. Last year, the All-American 400, it got rained, right?
Yep.
And then they went in the spring.
Yep.
And look at him this year. Goes down and gets the pole again.
Absolutely. It's a completely different program, obviously. We've talked about him a lot and his program up here in Canada. The program that he has, it's still a red number 53. Doesn't look a whole lot different, but prepared out of the Donnie Wilson shop. And they've got a really neat crew and team put together down there. Cole Butcher just does a fantastic job. You know, he was right up front for the qualifying at the Snowball Derby as well. He's making... It's crazy to say, but he is making a name for himself in qualifying.
Sure, he is
on fast times, and he has not got the results yet of, you know, those fast times. We have not seen him step into victory lane down south of the border for any of these big races yet. And I know that that's what he's chomping at the bit for. You know, he's a winner through and through. He can win championships. He can win races. And he can obviously lay down a fast time. But we haven't seen Cole Butcher in victory lane yet down south. That day is coming. It's right around the corner. And, you know, when you can go down there and get the pole for some of the biggest races, everybody has to take note. And, you know, when they see that red 53 car roll in through the back gate, they know that that's a car that's capable of winning the race and definitely going to be a contender for the pole.
And he's hooked up with the right guys, right?
Absolutely.
Down south, he's hooked up with
Donnie Wilson.
And Donnie Wilson has done a great job, too. So,
yeah,
those guys, he's hooked up with the right guys. I would imagine he's going to head for the Snowball Derby next. We will find out from Cole a little bit later in the show. But what do you say we get to our first guest here tonight? We were going to grab Kenny Group. We'll work on that. But how about the Outlaw Super Late Model Champion from here in Ontario, Mr. John Cadman, and we have him on the line. What's going on there, John Cadman? How are you?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
Fantastic, my man. Congratulations on the championship 2019. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, it was nice to get some good final results. And in 2019, you know, we've been chasing that for a couple of years now. And, you know, we certainly, it was nice to get the monkey off our back because I thought we had a really competitive car the last 2 years, but just couldn't seem to get it done. So at the end of the year, so it was nice to cap it off with a championship.
Well, that's that Glenn Watson always gets in the way, right? That guy is so good in that number 22. You got to be spot on. You got to have everything to go out there and beat that guy. He's a multi-champion. And, John, you did her this year. That 22 was no match for you.
No, Glenn's always kind of set the bar high and, you know, gives us all somebody to chase every year. And, you know, with seven championships behind him and over the years, it's he always, like I said, sets the bar high. So it's tough to beat him on a regular basis. But, you know, I think they struggled just a little bit with their program this year, which is not really characteristic of what they do. But, you know, he was still there chomping at the heels right there till the bitter end, you know, one wrong move. And, you know, we were still really tight going into the last race. And if I had made a mistake, he was still there to capitalize. But, you know, for the most part, I think we were just a little bit better all year than they were. So, you know, we only won run race at Peterborough. We were pretty dominant there, but I think we had a better car than we should have won a few more races this year. Actually, I should have won the first one at Sauble, and we had a big lead there, and the motor started missing and breaking down. So we ended up falling back to fifth, but I think we had the best car at the first race. And, you know, so that's just the way it was. We had a really good car at the second race at Sauble when we were fighting it out with Tim Ellis, too, and had a bit of an issue in the heat race that we had to make some changes for the feature that hurt us a little bit. Otherwise, I think we probably had the best car there, too.
John, talk a little bit. Your crew, your team, when you guys roll in to every racetrack, you guys do it right. You guys have a wicked-looking team there. You guys have, you know, you roll in looking like a race team. Talk to us a little bit about the guys that you got working on your team. I know one of them is a good friend of mine, Glenn Blaker, of course. He went to, you know, he got the championship in the APC series, and he got the championship with you in the Outlaw series. But talk to a little bit about the crew that you've got assembled, because you guys work harder than everybody else in the pits.
Well, you know, we've had the same group of guys for the last couple of years now, and they, everybody works hard. Glenn works hard. Shane Gowan, who's ex-Outlaw guy for years, who's, you know, had some health issues and had to quit racing, but certainly, you know, works hard to help me on the weekends at the racetrack. And Kelly Hallett, all these guys work hard, and you know, without them, it is a team effort. You know, you can't do it by yourself, and I really appreciate their help, and they've been around the game for a long time, so you know, I think every team in the pits knows the value of the guys that show up and put their time in, you know, week in and week out. You know, we're not running a ton of races in this class, but you know, six races is still you know, six committed weekends, and then there's nights in the shop too, and which is tough for these guys because they live, you know, quite a ways away from where I am, but they still come in and they give me a hand whenever they can.
What's it like keeping one of those outlaw super late models on a racetrack? It's got to be maintenance-wise. You guys got to do quite a bit to prepare those cars each and every time, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's it's doing your due diligence and the week-to-week maintenance, preventative maintenance. You know, that's important. And you know, we've had a few mechanical woes over the past couple of years that some of it, you know, you think is out of your, you know, or you'd like to think is out of your control, and some of it maybe, you know, because you missed something and you didn't do your due diligence, and then kind of you're responsible for some of the issues that take place. But you know, we have our protocol that we follow. And you know, I can't leave out Junior Hanley, because without that guy, you know, our program wouldn't be anywhere close to what it was this year or even last year. I mean, that guy still works like an animal for his age, and you know, he's still sharp as a tack, and he's been really good to us, and I know he helps out a bunch of other guys too. But I, like I said, I can't give him enough credit for. You know, the success of where we ended up this year.
And you have to thank your motor builder. I've heard that 71 car Ignite coming off the corners. That motor that motor program that you guys have is pretty badass.
Yeah, Dennis is at AP Racing Engines, knows how to put together a quality piece for sure. And, you know, when I first came back, you know, 4 years ago and bought the car that we bought, had a McGonagall motor in it, and it blew up pretty quick. And then I went to Dennis and said, hey, man, I need you to help me out here and put something back together in a hurry and try to work with some of these parts that we can still salvage at that time. And he put together a really good motor, and that's not the motor we ran all this year or last, but you know, that's where the relationship started with him 4 years ago. And then last year we built a brand new 18 degree motor because I felt like we just needed more at Jukasa and you know, to run with those U.S. boys and to be competitive there. The 23 degree motor that I had was great everywhere except for there, and we were kind of hoping there'd be more than one race there. So I kind of felt like we spent a lot of money for one venue, because the, you know, the other engine that I had from Dennis initially was certainly more than enough for all the other racetracks and attraction that they provide. So, but no, he's been great and builds awesome stuff for sure.
We're with John Cadman tonight. He is the Ontario Outlaw Super Late Model 2019 champion. He did that right here in the province of Ontario. John, sponsorship on your race car. No, you got a sponsor that not only supports you on that car, but he also supported the series this year, which is kind of unheard of.
Yeah, you know, it was great that Stu at Canadian Concrete Expo stepped up and supported the series in 2019. You know, I think as we all know, the series has struggled a little bit with car counts in the last number of years, and it was kind of looking bleak at the end of 2018, that some of the promoters were not sure whether they were actually going to take a race, and the payouts were maybe going to diminish from the previous year. And so I went to Stu and I said, you know, would you be interested in sponsoring the series as well as my car, and, you know, to get some added exposure? And he said, you know, absolutely. So, you know, I had to take a step back a little bit, and I said, you know, I'll sacrifice some of my prize or some of my sponsorship if you're willing to put some into the series. And so we kind of did that together for the good of the class in 2019, and, you know, everybody kind of benefited from their involvement as a whole, and, you know, we're hoping they're going to be back next year as well, but not really sure yet. We're a lot of things to be discussed in the coming months, but I'm hopeful they're going to be back.
Now, talk a little bit about that. Obviously, you know, you as the champion, you're an ambassador for the series and for the class itself. But talk a little bit about the health of Outlaw Superlates. You know, looking back, I can remember, you know, 15 years ago, there was so many cars that there was two divisions. There was the Oscar super late models, and then there was the Ontario super late model division over towards Peterborough. But talk a little bit about the health of the Outlaw class, and what do you think is holding that back?
You know, it's I think a lot of guys are stuck on the fact that the cost of the class is, you know, from a motor perspective, is gotten out of hand, and you know, the last number of years. And honestly, guys, I was away from the game for a long time there in the early 2000s, and you know, because I was down in the States, but so I missed a lot of when the super late model class or the outlaw class was really healthy. I wasn't around racing then, so you know, the motor packages then, I'm not really, you know, aware of what they were, but from what I understand through talking to a lot of guys that were around in those healthy times, there were some changes made. I think, you know, getting away from some steel-headed stuff and open it up to the aluminum-built stuff, and, you know, that's when guys started to feel like, you know, things were getting a little out of control with cost, and, you know, at least that's what I was, you know, the perspective that I got from some guys that have been doing this for a long time when I came back 4 years ago. So, but I think a lot of that is you don't need, you know, 700-800 horsepower to be competitive in this class. I can tell you that. I mean, you know, look at, you know, Andrew Gressel with a McGonagall, you know, spec motor that's probably just under 600 horsepower, comes to Flamborough and wins a, you know, a race 2 years ago when John was putting on the Gold Rush, and certainly dominant every time he's at the track up at Sauble. And that motor is, I know, under 600 horsepower. So, you know, a lot of these tracks now, they don't have, there's no bite. The grip is very limited. So even if you do have a big horsepower motor, you're choking it down anyway. You can't get the power down to the racetrack. So
exactly.
You know, I think a lot of guys need to kind of put it into perspective and realize that there isn't, you don't need to spend $40,000 on a motor to be competitive in this class. And I think maybe some guys are starting to realize that now. And I think, honestly, it's probably one of the most economical classes out there. Like, there's a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of expense to putting a body on one of these cars comparative to, you know, a template body. There's mm-hmm. lots of used Penske shocks around. You're not buying, you know, a mandated shock like you have to in APC. So, you know, we're only running 50 laps, 75, maybe at one racetrack. So honestly, I think it's maybe there's a chance that this thing's going to start to come back a little bit because the cost of some of these other series and these other classes have gotten very high as well. So, you know, I think we saw a little improvement this year over last, and I mean, baby steps. You know, we stepped the races back from, you know, 9 in 2018 to 6 in 2019, and I think overall we did see a little bit better car count in the 6 races. And so, you know, I think I'm hoping things are going to continue to move in a positive direction for 2020.
Absolutely. Well, I can attest to the better car count. The last race you guys did at Sauble Beach, I'm telling you what, that was off the rails. You, John, along with Tim Ellis and Glenn, not to mention the other guys in the field, but you three specifically put on a show. I think there was 15 or 16 Supers there that night. And you know what? That's tons. 15 or 16 Supers on a track like Sauble Beach. I'll tell you what, it's a show, and you guys did it. It looked fantastic.
Yeah, I was. I think it was actually 14, Joe, but still, you know, that was a good car count for that venue. And, you know, that was, I think, other than the last race at Sunset, was probably the highest car count we had. I mean, the first race there, I think, was 12. And, you know, we were shooting for 14 to 16 on average this year, and a couple races we definitely achieved that. Well, 3 out of the 6, actually, we were that or better. So, you know, I thought that race was excellent too, and I was, you know, when we were finished up and we were at the start finish line, I was hoping that the fans got their money's worth. And you know, it's that's what it's all about. I mean, we're there to put on a show for them, and if the racing's not good, then they're probably not going to come back. Or you know, so that race was one of the better races of the year for sure, and I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I've never seen a driver of an Outlaw super late model get out of the car with a frown on his face.
Yeah, never.
Not like I've seen somebody wreck and be a little bit upset.
Sean Chenoweth, when he knocked out the starter stand, he didn't have no frown.
No.
He had a glaring look in his eyes.
Yeah, but I mean, in all honesty, like any time somebody gets out of a super late model, an Outlaw super late model, you know, to be exact, you know, whether it be practice or qualifying or the feature, everybody gets out with a great big stupid smile on their face because it's probably the most fun that you can have that's legal.
Absolutely. I mean, the Outlaw cars are a lot of fun to drive, and, you know, you've got a bunch more horsepower than you do in any of the crate classes or, you know, the limited class for that matter with the built motor. So, you know, when you add 100 to 200 plus more horsepower, and you got to manage that on some of these racetracks that don't have a lot of grip, you know, Jukos is a different story. But you know, places like Sunset and Peterborough, and of course Sauble and Flamborough, you know, there's not a lot of grip there. So you really got to manage the throttle and try to keep the right rear underneath you. And it's a lot of fun to kind of wrestle one of these things around, and especially when it's working well. But when it's not, it can be a bit of a handful, and they can be like trying to wrestle a bear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. What do you think for changes this year, John? Or do you think there's going to be any real changes? You guys just keep the rule package the same and roll on, or what?
I think so. I think, you know, I thought there was some guys maybe talking about a sort of a motor rule change to open things up to try to get more people in, but I don't know if you change one thing to accommodate somebody, then you're kind of upsetting some other guys that have stuff that they've already spent money on. So I don't know what the magic scenario is as far as motor packages, but I think for now, I think the talk is that things are just going to remain the same moving into 2020, and just try to. From what I understand, you know, over the course of this season, some guys came up to me, some guys that I didn't even really know, because like I said, being away for so long and just being back 4 years, there's a bunch of faces that raced before I came back to it, and they approached me and said they were coming out next year, and they were kind of excited to see this thing, you know, move in a positive direction so that they were going to come out and support. So I'm hoping we're going to see a few more teams out in 2020 that we didn't see the last few years, and the rule package will probably just remain the same, and you know, hopefully we can progress positively.
I think the most badass part about it is that the fact that it's Outlaw, and the rule book is literally an 8x10 sheet of paper. I think that's the most badass part of it. It's
yeah, you're pretty close there. There might be 3 sheets of paper. But yeah,
well, whatever.
Yeah.
That's 14. That's 14-point font.
And really, I guess that's the way it should be.
It is, and yeah. You know,
less is more, right?
100%. And when I worked with Andrew Grizel on that Outlaw super late car, you know, for years with Oscar, that was some of the most fun that we've ever had. You know, you'd be sitting in the shop and you'd be like, you know, if we move that fender out, you know, and we do this XYZ, you know, in every other series it would be illegal, but in this it's like, just do it. Just have at it.
Yeah, have at it.
You know, and it didn't cost us anything. And we went out there and we either went 2/10 faster or 2/10 slower. And,
right.
You know, the series itself is just, it's so badass. And I hope that it continues to grow and you know, get it back to where it should be. And, you know, I love seeing Outlaw Superlates. I love the different smells that are there, you know, different race fuel that you could smell in the air. You know, just the gnarly rumble of an 800 horsepower motor, and you know, it's so cool to see them leave, you know, 2 black lines all the way down the straightaway at a place like Sauble Speedway. It's just it's incredible.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think the Outlaw class and the most super late models in general, whether it's a template car, you know, some of the stuff you see in the Midwest or down south, you know, we don't have any of that up here, but the Outlaw stuff is kind of like, you know, the fans come to see the Outlaw cars, and, you know, the crate motor racing, you know, APC and some of the other classes and the pro late stuff and the weekly divisions and limiteds, I mean, they provide great racing as well. I mean, those guys are grinding for every inch on the racetrack, and it's very tight competitive racing and, you know, side by side, and it offers a lot of great racing to watch as well. But, you know, there's something about it, like you touched on, as far as watching, you know, or listening to 700-800 horsepower rumble around the racetrack, and it's a whole different sound. I mean, a crate motor just doesn't sound like a built motor. So
exactly,
they're awesome cars. I mean, they were always the premier division for years as I was growing up as a kid and watching Junior and, you know, Don Biederman and, you know, Tracy Leslie coming up from the States and all the ASA guys back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, that's what everybody went to the racetrack to see. And, you know, it'd be nice to see it kind of resurrect and move in the right direction over the next couple of years and maybe pick up steam again.
It would be horrendous. Much needed in this province of Ontario. And I'll tell you what, they're one of the coolest cars you could catch at a racetrack. John, congratulations on the championship, my friend. And we really look forward to seeing you again in 2020. And we'll catch up with you through the off season, see how the plans are coming with that 71 machine.
Sounds great, guys. I appreciate that. Thanks very much. And, you know, thanks for having me on. And we'll definitely stay in touch.
You want to believe it? That is John Cadman. He is the champion for 2019 in the Outlaw Super Late Models in Ontario. Great guest to have, Junior.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not joking around when I say that his motor program was stout. That 71 car sounded badass at every single race that it was at.
Yeah, it sure did. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give Kenny a try, or maybe Nick. We'll have a guest, I guarantee it. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Riley Siebert, driver of the 09 Monte Carlo from Williams Lake, British Columbia, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh,
live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. We move forward, and let's bring in our next guest. He is a champion. As a matter of fact, a NASCAR champion from Sauble Speedway, the Superstock champion. We have Kenny Grubb with us. Kenny, what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Joe. We had a nice night last night at the Sauble Banquet.
Yeah, good time. I seen you up there with your trophy. Pretty proud of getting that sucker. You worked hard for that, Kenny.
Yeah, we had some good competition this year with the 37 and that, and Curry and Jake.
Yeah, sure did. Wheel to wheel, and it didn't seem to matter what track you showed up at. You were stout at Sobel, and you made it out to quite a few tracks this year, didn't you?
Yeah, we ended up second in Froschfest at Peterborough. We started 17th. We had some bad luck qualifying, but we had a good finish after that.
Yeah. Now, Chukasa, too, you were down there, weren't you?
Yeah, we were down at Chukasa Trace this year, but we had Lane Zardo was driving, and he got second in the June race down there, and then he ended up running the September long weekend race down there. We made a couple of changes for the second one, and it paid off.
He drove an incredible race in both of them at Chukasa for sure. Lane did a great job for you guys. It was really exciting to watch. I was up there for both of them, and he definitely made you guys proud for sure.
Yeah, he done a good job for us. He led from the he led every lap except for the first two. Sean Jenrich, he was fast qualifier. He had some bad luck. He had a start at the back and. Yeah, ended up with a second, though.
Kenny, you have always been a true blue oval Ford guy all the way through, and you guys take great pride in driving a Ford, don't you?
Yeah, that we do. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me to the races all the time, and I used to watch Andy Smith and Ken McRoy and all the guys and Junior Hamley and all them back in the day, and then... I helped Andy Smith for one summer, so you can blame Andy for getting me into the Fords.
And you've done a fantastic job with it. I know back in the day, Ron Lipsky would show up at a racetrack. He'd come up with a Ford Granada. Everybody else had like a conventional setup in their race car. Lipsky couldn't do that. It was a leaf spring car. He had to come out, and, you know, you'd look at it and you'd think, oh, man, that thing isn't going to win. And I'll tell you what, Lipsky, they would start him at the back, pay him an extra $5 for every car if he would win the race. And you know what?
He would go
more often than not, he would take that old Ford Granada and take it right to the front. Yep. Kenny Group, you're a lot like that.
Oh, thanks. Ron was pretty good. Ron Lipsky and Andy Smith, they used to have their... So batters back in the day, they were both pretty good drivers.
At most tracks,
you go in and see, predominant Chevrolet, and that is most of the tracks. And I know we were fortunate at the beach to have guys like Andy and Ron and guys like Kenny that were, you know, true Ford guys. We'd have Chevrolet with Tim Ellis and, Tyler. Tyler was always a Ford guy, too, right?
Yeah.
Ken McRoy, he drove for Roger McLinn for a bit there, too, with Andy and them.
Yeah.
Roger was a Ford guy.
And then we had Doug Wilson that was a Dodge. We had, you know, a real good split of all the main manufacturers. And always kind of cool when you can get that at a racetrack. This year, Kenny, let's talk about 2019 at the beach. Your main competitor definitely was that 37 of Marvin Freiberger. Man, he won a lot of races, but you guys always seem to be glued together.
He made us faster too. He made us run probably 2 or 3 tenths faster this year. We had to do some changes to the car, and we had to put more gear to the car. It helped. So yeah, we had put a different body on the car. That helped a bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, Marvin made us pick the pace up a bit.
You know, over the last couple of years, you were very dominant at Sobel Speedway. You were very fast. Every single weekend, week in, week out. This was kind of the first time where somebody came out and was consistently faster than you. When that happens, and I'm glad that you brought it up, on making yourself faster. When that happens, it's it's not necessarily a bad thing for your racing program, because what happens is you start looking and start flipping rocks over, looking for stuff, you know, and trying to find some speed. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about the finding the speed aspect, because I guess it was right around the end of July when you guys actually did. You turned a corner and you guys became basically equal.
Yeah, I think that's when we started putting more gear into the car, and that made a big difference, just getting off the corner quicker and stuff.
And you have to make adjustments in the race car too, right? You as a driver, when you do that gear change and you do throw a different setup at it, that means the driver has got to change what he does, and that's a tough thing to do sometimes.
That's right, and we also noticed when we ran fast, I used to always run the stock GM brake rotors and that. Then after we got one in faster, I started having brake problems, so we had to upgrade the brakes a bit.
Yep. Yeah.
We had to put the two-piece brake rotors on the front for better cooling. So we had to change a couple of things because we were running faster.
Absolutely.
This is connected to that, right?
Exactly.
The dots go to the dots. Kenny, talk to us about the sponsorship on your race car, the support you've got. Man, you got a full race car there. Tell us about them.
Yeah, I started driving the car for Lone Bester maybe 8 years ago. And he's a diehard Ford fan. So he bought the car, and then Marvin drove it for 1 year. And then I started driving it after that. And then Lauren passed away there after 3 years, and then we won 5 championships out of 6 years. So wish he was around for that. He liked when the Chevys beat his cars. So I know one thing he would have been pretty proud at the Bester team for winning the championship the last 5 years, and Lane having a good race down at Chickasha this year. Yeah, he would have been happy.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was there with you, so I can guarantee it. Probably right in the car with you each and every time. You just can't see him.
Yep. Mrs. Lawrence Reif last night said, your shoulder might have been pretty heavy down at Chickasha when Lane won the race down there this year. I said, no. I said, it was even out, because I said Lauren was leaning on one side and my dad was leaning on the other shoulder. So,
yeah.
My dad used to go to all the races too back in the day and never missed none.
Yeah.
So, my dad and Lone, they had a good summer this year.
Well, you did them proud, you and all the whole crew. Take us through the guys you got helping you on that car, on that 36 machine.
So, I've got Brad Redder, he's crew chief. Got Chuck Doerr, Randy McKenzie, Chell. My brother helps quite a bit. All of the Bester families, they all help us. They own the Bester family. Lone used to look after it, but after he passed away, the rest of the family, they dug in and they come to the races and help us.
So 2020, are you going to be out there to defend it? You're going to go after and chase another championship? What was it like going after the points?
We'll be up at Salzburg again this year and going to all the other racetracks. We already told Lane that he got the car for, he can drive it again at Chickasha this year for us. But, if there's any races I can't make it to, Lane will be driving it. There's one race at Salzburg this year that got changed from Saturday to Sunday, and I already had to, I promised work that I would go in and work on that Sunday, so I had to get Lane to drive the car. I heard Lane and Marvin had a pretty good batter in the feature, so Lane kept me on the point. So like I told Lane the other day, I said his name's on that championship trophy too this year, because he drove it for one of the races and kept us in the point. So part of the championship this year is Lane's.
Yeah, those championships are all put together by teams, right? Yeah. There's a whole great team there. Any changes to the 36? You got any plans through the off season with that race car? Is it going to look different, or are you going to change anything?
She's just going to fix the body up a bit, and besides that, she's going to be the same old car.
Ah, there you go. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right. She's been working good this year.
Well, good for you, Kenny Groove. Congratulations on the championship, my man. You did a great job, and I know we all look forward to seeing that blue oval fly around that speedway again in 2020.
Yeah, she'll be back out again at Sauble.
You better look out and keep your eye in the mirror, because that blue Bester's car, old Bruce Bester, he's going to be coming for you here in the next little bit. He's digging hard, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pumped up. So he got him and his brother, Dirty. They met together and got their own car to play with this year.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be pretty cool seeing the Bester cars go up against each other in the coming years after, you know, Bruce picks it up a little bit and he took some swings at the end of the year there, but Bruce is he's a heck of a guy.
Yeah, so that was his first time this year he ever jumped in a race car, so he's a rookie.
Yeah, he did sure. pretty good.
He did. He
yep.
did.
He learns lots. So, you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Are you calling him an old dog?
Sure. Sure. I'm an old dog. I'm an old dog, so is Bruce. Yeah, good deal. Kenny, you be good. Thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time. I know you got to get back to work. Get to her.
Okay, thanks a lot. Talk to you there, Joe.
You betcha. That's Kenny Groove, the champion at Sauble Speedway in that super stock class. Him and Marvin Freiberger, I'll tell you what. You got to add the 0-1 in there. He was another real competitive car. The 77 of Jake Zevenberg was up in there. There was a lot of good cars there this year.
There was, for sure.
We needed more cars, but who doesn't?
Yeah, no, 100%. And you know, you look at there's a couple of guys in that class. We talk about Marvin Freiberger, the 37 car. He came out with 4 years of late model experience, or 5 years of late model experience, and stepped down into Thunder Car or Super Stock with a brand new built car, specifically to the rule book, and that thing was fast.
And Junior Hanley set up.
Hanley set it up, and Marvin had the car, like for Super Stock racing, that car, I mean. You can't get better than that thing.
No, it was good.
And he drove it. He wheeled the hell out of it. And, it was definitely interesting. Obviously, at the end of the year, there was an infraction. And on the technical side, he ended up losing the final race, in the tech shed. But when you look at the competition level between, there was two different classes really within that division at Sauble, and it was Kenny and Marvin. They were in a realm of their own. Then you had the 77 of Zevenbergen. You had the 01 up until the middle point of the year, and then he quit. You had the 77 of Zevenbergen, the 01. You had the 71 of McAllister.
Corey McAllister, that car was flying too.
It was, for sure, but it was part of that second group. It was racing for third, on a consistent level. And it was always an interesting race. I watched probably five super stock races this year at Sauble.
Yeah.
And every single one of them, was an exciting race. And it was cool to watch.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. We're going to hit another quick break. Another champion on the other side. Stay with us.
Don't know I'm down here. Must be something I said.
Hi, race fans. I'm Al Bakke from the Saskatoon Stock Car Racing Association. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
In my soul, in my head.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam. Oh!
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Sliding into it out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing. There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV-TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV-TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Hello to you on Sirius XM Channel 167. Or maybe, just maybe, you're tuned in throughout the course of the week on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. Hello to everybody there. Or 98.9 XFM out in beautiful Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Or how about Gearhead Country Radio? All those different locations you can hear Racetime Radio after the Sirius XM, of course. And if you have missed any part of the show, you want to go back and re-listen and catch the whole thing, it's very easy to do. Get to iTunes and just search Racetime Radio. You will see it pop up. Hit like, hit subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode of Racetime Radio. But what do you say we get to our next guest? This gentleman started out at the Speedway as a kid. I mean a youngster. Working around that racetrack, he was on this side of the fence, if we can say it that way. And then he decided, you know what, I've had enough of this side of the fence. I'm going to get a race car, I'm going to get into this sport, and I'm going to go after it. Well, he did that, and look at him now. He is a bone stock champion from Sauble Speedway. His name is Nick Hamill, and he is with us on the hotline. Nicky, how you doing, kiddo?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic, my friend. Congratulations on the championship. That was fun.
Yeah, it's, just like you said, it's definitely better to be on this side for a change and have the outcome I did.
Yes.
But, yeah, it was a fun season,
I would say. Nick, you know, I've known you since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, and I'll tell you what, you are an outstanding young man on whatever you choose to do. You've done a good job behind the wheel of that race car. What was it like getting in there this year and looking at points, or did you look at the points to sort of total them up? And were you points watching, or did you just go do the deal?
Well, I was 100% points watching. Last year I came into it, and I threw the car together in a week, and I just told myself I wanted to go out there and just get better every night and just keep show up every night and do the best I could. I got top five. This year I said, I want to win the championship. I don't care. Like, I tried hard enough. I didn't win any features, but I won the championship. So I told myself, this is what I want to do this year, and I just go out and do it. And next year, I don't care what I do if I win a championship, but my biggest thing, I just want to go out and win a feature for next year.
Yeah, so you got the goal set, and it just proves to you, right? Consistency pays off. You got a title out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the way to do it. What's it like studying, trying to make that car faster, trying to make yourself better as a driver? Did you go online? Did you look around? Did you pick up any tips and tricks from any drivers that are friends of yours?
Well, definitely. Girlfriend gets really upset with me when I'm always searching on the web looking for new tips and tricks. Be texting people, calling people, picking their ears, picking their brains. trying to figure out what I can do to get the car working better. Everything that I was doing to it, it just seemed to be working. And there's a few times it would kind of set me back a little bit, but then we just turn it back a little bit, go back to where we started from, and just and keep going forward. And everything we did to the car just seemed to work. So,
well, and that's the way you learn, right? You don't know if you're going to make it faster, you're going to make it slower, but you're sure going to find out when you get out there and the green flag goes in the air. You're going to find out in a hurry whether you went the right way or you didn't. I guess the key is you got to remember where you started to go back to it if by chance you made it slower.
Exactly. And one thing I learned hanging out with Jason Tom is write down stuff. And I wrote down, I had a notebook where I'd write down everything we did, and I'd go back and tell everything I did every single night, even from last season, just what worked and what didn't. And just do that. Like, obviously, that's a big part of racing and growing and learning. So that's one of my best tips, I guess, that I picked up and I've been using for the success.
Well, you can't go far wrong listening to a guy like Jay Tom. That guy's been there, done that. Pretty cool when you can get some advice from the big guy. How about sponsorship on your race car? Because I know it doesn't happen just all by itself.
Yeah, like the guys I have are a great group of guys. It's exciting for me to have, I think we had three guys on the car this year, first time sponsoring, first time ever being at the racetrack. So that would be Archer Plumbing, a buddy of mine I went to school with, started his own company, so he's excited to be on the car. My boss, Andrew James with James Special Services, DB Fabrication, In-law is Mark's Automotive, and then Tom Construction, and like they all came together and helped me where I needed it, and made sure I had what I needed to show up every weekend. So it's a big thanks to them.
And get the job done, which you did. So the off season, what do you got planned for the off season? You going to blow that car apart, make a new one? What's the plan?
I haven't decided. I really want to get into building a car too, but I just got to just work with what I got right now. Not 100% sure what the plan is. I know I have something good going into next year. I know there's some stuff I want to change and add to it to make it better. We're just looking forward to this rules meeting to see what's going to happen and what direction we're going to go. Hopefully there's not a whole lot of changes, because this class is just try to keep it stock, and hopefully they can just make it better, but keep it the same too. So we're just gonna just go out, have some fun. Like I said, just try to win some features for next year.
Well, you'll be able to look at that trophy all off season long and know that all that hard work paid off. Nick, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. Kind of cool getting a bone stock champion on here and a guy that I've watched for a long time. Congratulations on the championship, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Nick Hamill. He driver of the number 18. Kind of looks like that Kyle Busch kind of dude, right? And he kind of ran like him, too, this year. Real cool to see Nick win that championship. But I want to tell you that we're getting close to the top of the hour here. We're going to throw it back to Scotty in Toronto. He's going to get you up to date on some news and some highlights that you may have missed as we were yakking on hour number one. And then we're going to come back with you for hour number two tonight on Racetime Radio. Want to let you know we got Taylor Holdaway coming up. We're also going to hear from Jake Sheridan and Cole Butcher. That's the plan. Those three guys are in hour number two. And we're going to get to hour number two in mere moments. Those guys were down in Nashville. Want to say Jake Sheridan was the top performing Canadian in the Pro Late Model class. Not sure how Caden made out. He was in the super late models, I do believe. Could be wrong there. But Caden Lapcevich was down there. It was his birthday. He was hoping for a lot better day. Seen that part on Facebook. And I know that Brandon Watson was also down there. And I haven't got the finish up here in front of me, but I can well imagine I'm going to be digging it out as we get these guys on air in just a few moments. So We'll throw you back to Toronto, and then we'll come back with you for hour number two tonight, right here, live on Racetime Radio. Stay right there. We'll be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins. See, that didn't hurt a bit, did it? And if you're listening on Sirius XM, you're a whole lot smarter now from hearing all of that news. But, Junior, I've been waiting all day to talk to this next guest. Let's bring him up on the hotline. He drives the number 41. In Ontario, in a Prolet model, but he was down in Nashville this weekend in that same number 41. His name is Taylor Holdaway. What's going on there, Taylor? How you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys?
Not too bad at all. You qualified good, and then they yanked one time back from you, but things were still looking good, and then disaster broke out, 30 to go. Take us through the day, buddy. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, we had a really good car going. Crew did a good job all weekend. We just unfortunately had a bit of an issue going through tech. We were 16th low on the roof height, and they're trying to set a precedent down there. So they took our lap away, which would have had us starting ninth. But unfortunately, we ended up 16th, and we were really just riding there. I know Nashville's hard on tires, so they wanted me to ride till about 30 to go, and that was a restart. We were going to turn the wick up, and someone in front of us missed a shift, unfortunately, and one of those deals where everyone bottlenecks up so fast, you're kind of in it before you know it, and took all the front end off, but it's just cosmetic damage. We had a fast car. We know we had a really good car going. I think we could have finished in the top 10.
Oh, man, you hate it when that happens. Taylor, I seen a photo online. I don't know whether it was Twitter or Facebook, but I seen the damage on the front end of the 41, and I thought, man, that does not look good. I'm glad to hear that it's cosmetic and not structural.
Yeah, no, it was just, there's no bracing on the front end of these cars. They're trying to make them so light. When you get into someone, it caves up the bumpers and the hood pretty good, makes it look a lot worse than it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're okay, and I'm glad to hear that that race car is going to twist some more laps in the future. Hey, pretty cool to see all the Canadian guys down there. Was there much time that you guys were able to share together some tales, some tips and tricks?
Yeah, it was funny because we were all kind of four of us were all kitted right in the same area. So, I mean, you talked to everyone a little bit. Obviously, Caden had a pretty good run. I think they had a little bit of trouble, and Sheridan had a decent run there, and then Brandon followed up with a really good run in the Super tonight. So a lot of guys had a good run this weekend, and we'll see. Hopefully next race we can keep it one piece and finish near the front.
Now, Taylor, obviously you went down and ran the this is your second time. It's your third time to Nashville, but it's your second time racing, correct?
Yeah, the last race we had, we got 15 laps in, and then it rained out. So
gotcha. Yeah,
that was my first full race there, and third time there. We got practice in the other time, and finally got a full weekend of racing in.
Talk a little bit about the track itself, and obviously it's a historic joint. Everybody, you know, everybody who's in racing wants to race at a place like that. But talk to us a little bit about the track. Is it anything? Could you draw any information or any of your driving style translate over from any of your past experiences to that place to get around Nashville, or is it completely different and you're going down there blind and having to learn?
It's it's a very unique racetrack. There's really nothing that we race up there that's even close to it. There's just the asphalt's so old and bumpy, and the banking's insane, and so there's really no notebooks to draw from. You just try to talk to who you can talk to down there to get a base ballpark, and I'm fortunate enough I have Augie that's able to help me, and Scott and Sean, we all work together good. Being down there the last 2 years, we were able to we were able to test a little bit and kind of work on a notebook, but we had all different setups every time. It's Ducasse is a fast track, but this is kind of the banking and D-forces here are just, you can drive it in so hard because the banking will hold it up. There's nothing to really base yourself off of at home to even get ready for that race.
Yeah, it's a 5/8 mile racetrack too, right?
Yes, it is. It's a big track, long straightaways, the banking, and corners are bumpy and rough, and it chews tires up, so you got to be smart in a 100-lap race. And it was good, though. It's fun, and it's a cool town, and it's a fun track to go to.
Sounds like Taylor Holdaway is going to go back to that racetrack. You had some fun.
Yeah, they actually announced at the drivers' meeting today there's a big race in April coming up at Nashville, 150-lap pro and super late race. We haven't announced a date yet, but we're hoping to come back down to that and run 150 laps.
And take what you learned this time around and apply it when you get back there in the spring. That'll work out good.
Yeah, I think we'd have a really good, if we go back with the notebook we had here now, we'd have a really good starting point to fine-tune on it. I mean, the fast lap that they took away from us, I think we were within a half a tenth of being on the pole. So I think if we just work on it a little bit, get a little bit better, we'd have a good shot.
Too bad they couldn't make an example out of somebody else, eh?
Yeah, there's three of us that got dinged, so, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bad talk them, because my biggest thing is I want to go somewhere where they check it evenly, so I guess if you know they're going to check everyone, then we are just on the short end of the stick this time.
Yeah, there you go, and 100%. good for you to, you know, for taking the lump, so to speak, on a 16th of an inch. That's not much.
No, it's not, but, I mean, if we were the only one, I'd be mad, but there was a handful of supers and a handful of pros, so next time is to make sure we're good.
Right on. Taylor, looking at, obviously, you know, this is kind of your second year of going after these big shows, you know, to iconic racetracks, and you know, not focusing on points, but instead going for the big game, if you will, for big races. You know, talk to us a little bit about your happiness level of where you're at versus, you know, racing at a local home track, you know, every Saturday night to doing what you're doing now. Obviously, you love doing it because you continue to do it. But talk to us a little bit about the differences between being a Saturday night short track hero to doing what you're doing now.
I mean, the biggest thing, I think, is just being able to go to different places and running on different tracks and running against some of the best names in the state, and Kansas for that matter. You're going to these marquee events, and there's so much hype, and there's so much media, and you're just going to different tracks. You're doing things new. I love doing the Saturday night thing, but I've done it for nine years, running the same track every Saturday. So it was time for a change, and I mean, just the way the rules work, sometimes when you want to run like a lower series at home, you're spending the same amount on parts, or if not more, to comply to the rules. To come down here and just have more of an open rule book, be able to spend your money, and the races don't cost that much more to go to other than the travel and hotels. But it's different. We go to different tracks, and we're able to knock a couple things off bucket list, and we all have a good time doing it.
How about Speed Weeks? That's coming up. We're going to see that in February at New Smyrna Speedway. Any urge to go down there and play on that big, beautiful half mile called New Smyrna Speedway?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd always be fun, but my biggest thing is I like the longer races. That's another reason we're kind of going down to the state side a bit. 35-lap races don't really interest me that much anymore from doing it for so long. So we like to go hit up some of these longer races that they're having and kind of pick it off of that.
So like Easter Bunny, All-American 400, you got any other ones that are sort of keying you up there that you're going, okay, 2020, Taylor Holdaway's hitting this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rattler, We've been to Cordell the last 2 years, so I think we're going to try something new this year. We're going to go to the Rattler, hopefully in March if everything pans out. I mean, Bristol's always on everyone's bucket list, but that's kind of a got to be ready to go to Bristol. And then, again, the Snowflake at Pensacola, definitely on the goal, but we need a bit more experience running down against these guys and get better at qualifying, which we did better this weekend. So if we can run a couple more shows and get a little bit better, then I'd like to go to Pensacola and try that joint out. It's pretty historic.
You know, when you go down south and you race against some of these big teams, it's obviously eye-opening and you learn some stuff. Everybody always, you know, walks away from a big event like that and they seen something on somebody else's car or they seen somebody do something on the racetrack that lights the lamp and, you know, helps your program. Talk a little bit about that aspect of going down to these big shows. What did you learn this weekend that kind of shocked you or surprised you? Was there anything?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just the more you race down here, the more people you meet, the more contacts you have. And it's nice when you go back to a place for the second time and you know people. If you have a question, they're there to help you out. I mean, if there's anything I did learn, it's not to race leaders when you're two laps down because he's probably the most unhappy, unlike guy at Speedway tonight, but it made it interesting, that's for sure.
Casey yeah. Roderick is who he's referring to.
Oh, yeah. Casey in the wrong spot at the right time?
Yeah, he's kind of on the S list for a lot of people.
Well, it happens, right? When you're on that racetrack, you paid your dime to race. So I guess, you know, some guys, don't matter where they are on the racetrack, they're going to race whoever pulls up.
Yeah, I guess I know I didn't make any friends tonight, but it was definitely a battle of attrition in the super late model race, so it was a good show, and looking forward to coming back.
Who ended up winning it? I haven't checked my Twitter yet. Mason Mingus won it. I know Stephen Nassy was up there running, and then I seen one tweet from Matt. Sounds like he ran out of brakes.
Yeah, him and Chandler got into it there, and he wrecked pretty hard, and then Chandler came from the back there, but Roderick was trying to prove a point, I guess, that he had a car fast enough to win, and he got in the way and made a difference in the race, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It all happens. You haven't got a lot of time to turn that race car around now. If you're going to start running again in March, knowing you guys, Taylor, you're going to bring it home. You and Brandon Johnson and all those guys, you'll blow that car apart, rebuild it all, and then head back down.
Yeah, I mean, normally we'd have a quick turnaround and go back down in January, but my Sarah and I are getting married in January, so we're going to take a little bit of time and get everything ready and go again in March.
Wow, Christmas, then wedding, holy moly, you got busy days coming up.
Yeah, it was. We said if we made it through Nashville good, we could probably get it turned around in time for Cordell, but it'll be nice to take a little bit of time off and just focus on it and get ready to go to another track.
Well, we wish you safe travels on the way home, my friend, and congratulations to you and the crew for going down there and representing us well. I know it didn't work out the way you wanted it to, but damn it, one of these times, Taylor, we're going to have you on here as a winner down south. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're working hard towards it. This is only our fifth pro late model race, so we're still learning, and if our lap would have stood on Saturday, we would have qualified some pretty big names, and that could have made a whole different story for us on Sunday, just not having to come back through traffic. It's a hard track to pass on, and it could have made our weekend go a whole lot different.
Man, that notebook is a little bit thicker this time around. No eraser on the end of that. It's all wrote in pen, too.
Yes, sir. We're excited. I know. I think if we come back now the next time, I know we're going to have a good piece. So, Scott and Sean and everyone, they worked hard this weekend, and we made big gains on it. And I think when we come back, we're going to be even better.
Good for you, man. That's the right attitude to have. Taylor, have a safe drive home, my friend.
Yes, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Taylor Holdaway, driver of the 41. One casualty of Nashville right there.
Yeah, definitely. Tough deal. It was kind of hit and miss for the Canadians. Obviously, Sheridan came home 12th, had a good finish there. But fourth place for Brandon Watson in the super late model race.
Really?
That's a huge performance out of the McCall team and that number 9 team. You know, Watson's kind of doing a similar thing this year to what Holdaway is. Obviously doing a little bit more of it, you know, getting out to tracks like Winchester and you know, he made the trip down to Richmond earlier on in the year and you know, obviously, you know, hitting some big events all across Ontario. But you know, just... That's a massive number and a massive result, you know, to have a Canadian in the top five for the All-American 400 and as well to have a Canadian lead the field to green with the 53 of Cole Butcher. That's pretty cool. And it shows the level of competition that that we have up here. And it's obviously a statement heading into the Derby. It'll be interesting to see who's all down there. I'm really surprised that Holdaway is not going to the Snowflake this year.
Yeah, me too.
I'm very surprised at that. You know, I thought for sure he was going to allude to it, that he was going to go. But I fully anticipated seeing Holdaway make that trip down, because that's obviously a massive weekend for, you know, Augie Grill and those guys, Grand American Race Cars. And I thought for sure he was going to be going.
Tell me he hasn't got his head screwed on correctly, though. You'll hear what he said. I need a little bit more experience before I go down to the Snowflake.
Absolutely.
So, like, good on him to recognize, you know what, I'm getting there. We're preparing the stuff right. And need a little more experience. You jump in the ring with those guys, which, you know, the field he would have jumped in with this weekend was huge.
Yep.
But it's even going to be more huge when you get down to that Snowflake. There's a lot of cup influence in that pit area.
Yeah, definitely.
For that race.
Yep. And you know, it's completely similar fields. The front, you know, 10 guys at both are going to be the front 10 guys at the Snowflake and the All-American 400. But that being said, there's a little bit more depth at the Snowflake, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the way that Holdaway is going about doing, you know, his scheduling.
Yep.
I have full respect for it. You know, it's fun. Those big races are about going down and having fun. It's a weekend. It's not a race. It's not just a day, you know. Even though you only race the one day, it's still
a full weekend.
It is a full weekend. You know, you got to leave on Wednesday in order to get down there to do it. And, you know, I get up for those events, and so do a lot of other guys. And really, you know, looking back, I know he's only racing five or six times a year right now.
Sure, but look at the ones he's doing.
Exactly. He's hitting big events, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see that evolution. If he can pick up some sponsorship, if he can, you know, work with the, you know, a few different suppliers and grow what he's doing, that is a great model. And it shows the diversity of our sport, really. You know, you can go race for a championship at your local home track.
Yep.
You can jump into a touring series and go for a championship. Or you can cherry pick and do events that you want to do. And that's what kind of is the neatest part about our sport is, you know, you've got the ability to lay out a schedule and go after it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he's doing. We're going to have our next, we're going to hit a break here. But on our next round here, we got Jake Sheridan coming on. He did a phenomenal job at Nashville, and we're going to hear from him next, live here on Race Time. Stay with us. Junior and I are going to be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Matt Kenseth, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest
DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
We're back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're talking lots about Nashville in this part of the on this segment. We are working on grabbing Jake Sheridan. I know those guys are on their way home from Nashville. I'm thinking, Junior, they're probably in Cell Hell right about now.
Likely.
And probably a dead spot. But we've got time. Susie Q is going to be working on grabbing Jake and seeing if she can get a good cell connection. We're also going to try Cole Butcher. We may run into the same problem there. But, Junior, big weekend at Texas for NASCAR. We watched that Xfinity race on Saturday.
We did.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Saturday night.
Yep.
And quite a race.
It was.
They were getting it on.
It really was. Now, before we jump into that.
Okay.
Kent out on the East
oh,
Coast.
Oh, yeah. Kent Corbett. Our buddy.
Good buddy of Race Time Radio.
Yep.
He said, at Joe Chisholm Jr., put the official invite out to Holdaway. It'd be cool to see other Ontarios try the IWK 250.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So the official invite has to go out. Taylor Holdaway. That is a race. If you're going to cherry pick big races,
you can't get much bigger. I'll
mean,
tell you that, buddy.
You got to take a look at the IWK 250. You can't go wrong with that race.
No,
so
I
agree wholeheartedly with Kent. Yeah, definitely a cool deal.
Oh yes, and you know what? Taylor would fit that group there just like a glove. He would love the competitors he runs against out there.
He's a little bit of a Hollywood type, you know.
Ah,
I don't know if
Hollywood
he'd fit in.
Type,
I don't know if he'd fit in.
Yes,
very well.
He would. He'd fit right in. He'd fit right in.
He'd have a lot of fun for sure.
He sure would. And you know what? The fans on the East Coast of Canada would show him some love. I can guarantee you. Taylor's got a beautiful 41 machine there.
Yeah.
Always well prepared.
The rules, I think, you know, between. You know, here and that race out there, there's quite a jump to make that happen. You know, on the rule book side,
but it can't be any more than what he would have experienced this weekend in Nashville. I can't imagine that.
No, it is more though, because down there it's a more open ended rule book for sure.
Down there,
down like
in
at Nashville.
Yeah, yeah, more like open than the
IWK 250.
Yes,
and like you know it's. You can take certain things away. You're going down there with a knife versus a gunfight. But like for an Ontario guy or for a guy that's going down and running, you know, the Snowflake or any of those, you know, you need a different motor. Number one, to run with the Parts for Trucks tour, which is a it's a big investment, you know,
to
go out and buy a motor just specifically for one race or a couple races out there. So I think that's the biggest thing. It would be interesting to see the SEAL program, you know, between the, you know, the APC SEAL program, which is very similar to that of the SEAL program in all of the U.S. side. You know, those, there's no reason why those motors aren't allowed in the Parts for Trucks tour. You know, they're the same.
Well, they'll have reasons, I can guarantee it. We just don't know what those reasons are.
Well, no, it's...
But we will find out.
Yeah, and you know, it's part of the deal, but it would be, you know, I think a lot of guys from Ontario, not that they need them, they don't need the guys from Ontario to go.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I think a lot of guys from Ontario would make that trip if they were part of the SEAL program as opposed to having to get a...
I'm pretty sure
motor.
They could get sealed down there, but
you have to get a motor and then they seal it.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out, but let's get back to the hotline, shall we? I know Susie Q has mustered up there, Mr. Jake Sheridan. What's going on there, Jake? How you doing, 52?
Hey, good, Joe. Thanks, dude. We're just walking on the ferry by Speedway here.
Oh, you got to love it. How was the weekend for you? I see you got some results there, kiddo. Good on you.
Yeah, thank you. Not too bad. We got a little bit better, learned a lot this weekend, but big weekend. It was pretty cool. A lot of big names here, and very side by side a couple of them for a while. So it was a lot of fun. Learned a lot.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And you had fun at the same time. Jake, how much different was the 52 APC car to the one you raced this weekend? Was there much difference?
Yeah, we this is our Jocasta car we brought from that we wrecked up there. It blew right front tire on. It's it was fixed up and brought her up here, and it was good. It worked good. We were, I was a little more confident in our race trim than our qualifying trim, and we had it working pretty good. Just lost the handling a bit at the end, but no, everything was working good, and it held up the distance. But some people can't say that tonight, Joe.
yeah, I hear you, and it's good to hear that you went the distance and everything is fine. You can put it back in the box because you've had a rough summer, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I can't argue with you there.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Looking at Nashville, of course. So you're a guy that you know, grew up at Delaware Speedway. Our most historic, bumpiest, most character-filled racetrack in Canada, I would say. You grew up around Delaware Speedway. You've got around there a million times. Compare the racing surface that you raced on this weekend to Delaware Speedway. Which one's bumpier?
Oh, definitely Nashville here. I can tell you that.
That's cool.
I can tell you right now that the experience at Delaware helped me a lot here tonight. This track is, it's quick, but it wasn't quite as fast. I thought everybody was making it sound like it was, but there's some pretty rough spots, and it's hard to go two-lane racing here too wide, but we got up on the top for a lot of restarts, and we made up some ground up there, but the walls come in here pretty quick.
So Ron was on the radio, your dad, Ron Sheridan, he would have been on the radio saying, okay, Jake, I need you to save me some tires.
Yeah, no doubt. I was a little bit. The race from out here was pretty interesting. It was a 100-lap race, but they counted caution for the whole thing. I think we only did like 55 green flag laps or something like that. It was they took their time and they left cautions out for every single caution. We got cut short a lot of laps, which I don't know if that helped us or hurt us, to be honest with you, on our tires. But we got lots of tire left. I wouldn't be afraid to practice on these next time we go somewhere.
Oh, that's cool. So you qualified, if I'm correct here, qualified 19th, and you come home 12th, correct?
First year we qualified 12th and finished 12th.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
Qualified 12th, finished 12th.
Ah, well, that's not bad.
That's a heck of an outing.
I think we're up to 8th or whatever, and we just got really tight. We lost the nose about halfway through the race there. Well, probably only 20 laps of racing. The cautions were crazy, but... It was lost the nose a bit, and then we had a long run at the end, which didn't help us. But it was cool. It was a cool experience for sure.
Were you screaming inside the car for changes? Did you want to hit pit road and make some adjustments, or were you kind of quite happy with the car that you had?
I always wanted to come pit road on lap 5. We were. They count the cautions and that. It didn't really promote much the race of that, but I tell you right now, we should have put the pro in the super late model race. Probably would have come over the top 10 there too.
Yeah, a little bit more payout too, right?
Yeah, no doubt. They tore a lot of stuff up there in the super late model race, but it was cool show to watch and cool to be a part of. I was pretty pumped up to be with Brandon Watson there. He did amazing, and changing tires with him and stuff, that was pretty cool.
Now, talk to us a little bit about, this was your debut in the U.S., if you will, right? Like, this was the first time that you stepped on the other side of the border for racing?
Sorry, what's that? Come again.
Was that your first, like, your debut in the U.S. racing this weekend?
Definitely in Asheville. We did some stuff in back in Millbrae Speedway, the go-karts. I won a couple of races down there. I think we only went down there twice, but
gotcha.
It's been a long time since I've been down there, and this was it was a cool debut for sure. It was good. I mean, can't really complain too much. Made the show and pulled off a top 15, I guess, but definitely looking for more. I think we're capable of a lot more.
Is there what's coming down the pipe? Obviously, everything comes down to funding, and everything's very open-ended, but what's coming down the pipe for Jake Sheridan? Where can we expect to see you next? Are you going to get back out this winter, or are you waiting until the spring?
I wish you could tell me what's coming down the pipe, Joe. It's tough. This stuff down here is pretty expensive, and definitely a lot of tire bills, but we show a lot of speed this weekend. We definitely show how it took to be professional with these guys. We work something out on the snowflake maybe in the summer and try to run something. But that's a steep tire bill to go down there.
Yeah, but you're up for the task, Jake. You've got it. All you need is the coin to go do it. Your dad, Ron Sheridan, famous racer here in Ontario for a lot of years, did a lot of winning. Did he ever go down and try and tackle that All-American 400 or big race like that down in the U.S.?
No, I believe the only one he made, he went to Erie Speedway, I think, once or twice, and I think he got a top five in the podium there.
Yeah.
I think that's all we ever done. We haven't, the family history hasn't gone down here too much, but I'm pretty honored, pretty proud to be able to come down here with us for the first time, and we definitely put a good effort in this weekend, and everybody worked real hard, and it definitely showed. We just lost the car at the end of the race. Not 100% sure what happened, but I'm sure we'll be better next time. This is a big learning game for sure.
When you stepped out of the car, did your brother say that he would have finished higher?
No, my brother's pretty good. I told him today. I said you was. I said, I wish you luck trying to drive a car that tight. I said you can't go anywhere with the right rear hanging out. My brother works pretty hard. It's pretty cool to have him around, and he's my tire guy. He did all of our tires this weekend, and that's a tall order working with some of these guys down here. There was security in the tire barns, and guys stealing tires and throwing people out of the way. But he did a good job and definitely helped us out this weekend.
No, it is a different world down there, I guarantee you. Speed Weeks, seeing some of the things that transpire in the pits at New Smyrna Speedway through the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing, you can learn a lot in that pit area, I can tell you that. Even if you just stand back and observe, there's some pretty wild things that go on. But, Jake, this is so cool that you went down there, you experienced it, and to look at the season you had in the APC Series, man, I guess at the end of it all, we got to look back and say, you know what? That was not only a learned year, it was an expensive one, but it was a learned year, and at least you wrapped it up with having fun.
Absolutely. I mean, I hear everyone's going to have those rough years once in a while, but if nothing else, I learned a lot about the car this year and learned a lot about motors, blowing motors up. I learned a lot about that. Well, not so much motors, but just mechanicals, and learned a lot about that. So I think we're that much farther ahead for next year. And I'm looking forward. We're going to run for a full-time APC next year for sure. And I think we've got a good program for that next year. So hopefully, if the luck's on our side and things work out, we'll be able to hunt down a championship.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. It's going to be awesome. Support on that race car. I know it means a ton to you on that 52. Who did you have on this weekend?
Absolutely. This weekend, can't thank Belfar Progress Racing and those guys helped us follow this weekend. Fun doing things. Like I say, the biggest part down here is coming down with tires. And they helped us out a lot. Fried Beans, John Arts Excavating, and Byron Farms are just a local from around Mount Bridges with us. They do a lot and couldn't be here without them. So everybody that was with us, obviously my family, we worked so many ways down here. And just stayed across one weekend. It's been a fun weekend, and wouldn't want to do it with anybody other than my family. So it's been a good weekend. I'm looking forward. Hopefully we can do this a couple more times.
Gotta love it, man. How long of a trip is it for you? When do you guys expect to roll in the driveway and say, wow, that was a long trip?
I think we're going to go enjoy some supper tonight. It's been Nashville. I don't know. I didn't really know Nashville that well, but the area the track's in, it's It shuts down pretty early. We had our first supper the whole weekend last night. We finally got out of the track and then got locked out of the track, and it was a disaster. But I think we're going to go have some supper, and it's about a 10-hour drive home, and I think we might try and get straight there and maybe get up and get unloaded tomorrow and carry on with the work week.
Well, you can't beat the music, and the beer is cheap. Everything is looking up.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah, good for you guys. Safe trip home. Congratulations, Jake. Awesome news to hear you were down there, and awesome news to hear that you guys had a good time.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show.
We will catch up with you through the off season, and we'll get that APC schedule all laid out.
I hope so. Thank you. I can't wait.
You bet. Jake Sheridan, driver of the number 52, yet another one, Junior, that went down there. Positive experience, learned lots.
Yeah. You know, I'm obviously, you know, I'm not a professional broadcaster or anything like that, you know, like we talk about racing, and I think it's safe to say that I am a Jake Sheridan fan, you know.
Guaranteed.
I love seeing what the kid can do behind the wheel. He's every time he hits a racetrack, he learns, he gets better. He's got the composure of a 55-year-old man behind the wheel, but he's got the aggression of a 13-year-old. He's just, he's 100% out for blood all the time on the racetrack, but he does it smart. And when he gets into a rhythm, you know, he settles in and conserves his equipment. Looking at, if you are a film producer, or if you are somebody that makes reality TV, and you're looking for the next thing to do.
That's a good idea.
The two brothers, Jake Sheridan and Nick, really the entire family, right? The entire Sheridan family.
Yep.
They're long-time racing family. But those two brothers are the two most up-and-coming talents that we have here in Canada right now.
I would agree with that.
And, you know, the professionalism, the excitement level, they're not only competitors and they're not only hard-nosed racers, but they're also, you know, they're there for everybody. And, if you need a part or a piece, they've got it. And if you need anything, they're there. And they're very sportsman driven, in that camp. And, I imagine it's the exact same on the dirt side, you know?
Well, that's the thing. But, those two brothers are competing at the highest level of short track racing. I don't care what side of the border you're on. Nick runs in dirt in a sprint car.
Yep.
And you got Jake running a APC
Pro
Lay model.
Yeah.
Like, they're at the top of the game.
Yep.
They're not, like, you know, a couple steps down and they're both competing.
No.
I don't know how Dad Ron Sheridan ends up doing it. Because, you know what? He's raised two great kids.
Yep.
He has raised, I shouldn't say kids, he has raised two dynamite men.
Yep.
That both know what they're doing behind the wheel of a race car. And I have said it on this show since day one when I heard the name Jake Sheridan.
Yep.
I said, is that by chance Ron's son?
Yeah.
And that's going back quite a bit.
Yep.
And he had results then.
Yep.
And I said, you know what? That's got to be a chip off the old block.
For sure.
And I watched Jake this year. I was lucky enough to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what. He's the real deal.
He is, for sure.
And you know what? When he says he's going to go after a championship,
yep.
Look out, Matt Perdigo. Look out, J.R. Fitzpatrick.
100%.
Look out, all you guys. It's going to be a wicked competition in the APC series when you got a guy like Jake Sheridan saying, I want to go after those points.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, looking at, the results that he's already had, you know, he's been, you know, he's always up in that, you know, the good side of the speed chart. He's always on the left side. He's always, you know, setting a fast time. He's always, doing something, moving and shaking, you know? And really his brother's the same way. But the cool part about Jake and really his brother Nick is they both work on their stuff.
Yes.
You know,
they're not just shipping
the car to McCall or shipping it to the chassis builder and then they show up with a helmet bag and they go drive.
Playing a video game they show up.
These kids are, you know, running tires and they're setting up and they're working.
They're learning.
And you know, I can't say it enough. I'm a fan of Jake Sheridan. I'm a fan of Nick. And, you know, I would watch that reality show between the two because they're hilarious kids.
Yes, yeah, but, they are.
They have a lot of fun. But we can't say enough good words about them.
We're going to hit a break. The final one of the show. Then our plan is to grab Cole Butcher. The All-American 400 had a little bit of a Canadian twist to it this year. We had a couple of Canadians in the field. One ended up finishing fourth. The other one led the field to green, and that is Cole Butcher in the 53. We hope to have him on the other side of the break as long as his cell has got signal on his way home. We will be back. Stay with us.
Hey, Dirt Race fans, this is Kirk Hooker, driver of the 38 Dirt Late Model. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are working on trying to get Cole Butcher that did lead the field to green in the All-American 400 today in Nashville. Like I say, those guys traveling, there is still some big gaps in the U.S. where there is no cell signal. So we got our fingers crossed, and we're hoping that we're going to be able to connect with them. But that's about all we can do at this point. Junior, it was a great weekend in NASCAR. You and I, we started to talk about it before. The Xfinity race, won by Christopher Bell, and I mean he stomped him on Saturday night. Got a quick clip with Christopher Bell in the media center, and Christopher, needless to say, is pretty excited not only to win the race, but he's looking down the road. Have a listen.
Excitement. I can't wait. I can't wait to go to Phoenix. I love that racetrack, and now we get to go there and focus on one thing, and that's winning the race. I don't know if Jason was thinking points tonight, but we're definitely not going to have to think points next week.
Yeah, and he won't have to. Not the way those guys were driving.
Last year, he went into Phoenix in a must-win scenario.
Yes.
He had to win in order to advance into the Final Four, and he went out there and started deep in the field. I think it was 37th or 38th is where he took the green flag due to a technical infraction in qualifying. And he drove up through the field. One of the most dominating performances of the 2018 season was Christopher Bell at Phoenix. We went out there and took what was his. Then didn't get the results that he wanted to have at Homestead last year to close it out. Just missed it. Was obviously in the Final Four, but didn't win the championship. Christopher Bell is there for one thing and one thing only, to win races.
Yes.
And he's being groomed into a trophy getter for Toyota Racing Development and TRD.
He wants to win this championship this year. This is his last shot at it because he's Cup next year.
Exactly. And, you look at the path that Eric Jones took, and it's very similar to that of what Christopher Bell has done.
Yes, yeah.
Eric Jones, was in the very same scenario and situation that Christopher Bell is in. Of course, Eric ended up with JGR, but he spent a year with Furniture Row Racing with the 77 car, he raced the for 5 Hour Energy, he was a satellite team of JGR. Really the exact same path for Christopher Bell. Now we see Eric Jones in a consistent JGR ride, with the 20 car, but you look at Christopher and the poise that the kid has, he's just a phenomenal race car driver. But I think that there's going to be an interesting transition, just simply because of the way that LFR and the 95 car is structured. He's at a little bit of a disadvantage. He wants to win this championship and he wants to get it. But he's stepping into a ride that, it has never won. He obviously is partnered with JGR and under a long-term contract with them, going to end up in a JGR car one way or another in the future. He's got to fill in the gaps and get his Cup experience with that LFR 95 car. So really, I think that he knows it going in. He needs to, win and he needs to and put the presence on currently.
Do you think with him in the 95, he can make that 95 car a winner in Cup?
Yes and no.
Can't say yes and no. It is a yes or no answer.
Oh, I think it's yes and no. I think he's got the ability. It's if the equipment can do it and what the
what
the alliance has. I think that the entire reason for LFR going in this direction and partnering with JGR on a limited basis this year, I think the addition of Christopher Bell puts them into a more open-ended relationship with JGR, with less boundaries in the technical department.
Matt DiBenedetto almost won
a lot of races this year.
Sure, I can point at. Almost won them.
The Daytona 500 led the most laps, had a dominating car, obviously, and then, he had a great run at Bristol.
Yeah.
Just a spectacular run at Bristol. And, he went out there and performed at a very high level. He's got a couple top fives this year. I think that the addition of Christopher Bell opens the gamut to sharing the notebook a little bit easier and more freely with JGR.
Yeah.
So, when you do that, when you can do that, you're going to elevate the program. So is that Christopher Bell's, is it Christopher Bell doing that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's kind of the relationship aspect. So that's why it's a yes and no.
So he gets a little more equipment.
I think he's going
than what Matty got.
I think so.
Yeah,
and it's not necessarily equipment. It's more so how the equipment's put together.
Technology. Yeah, okay.
The way that the rules are shaping up for next year, and then into the new Gen 7 style race car that we're going to see unveil in 2021.
That's going to draw the field a little tighter by the look of it.
It's going to 100%, and it's going to change. It's going to change a lot of the basics of what the fabric of Cup racing is right now. So it's going to be interesting. I know there's going to be I think that you're going to see Christopher Bell go out there and perform at a very high level with LFR. But I think that he wants to get winning now, and he wants to get that championship now. I think that they know that it's going to be an uphill battle next year.
Any other surprises in the race that we've seen from Texas? I know with the two-car wrecking out, that was kind of a raw deal because he was fast. But do you see anything there that could prove to be a spoiler?
The seven of Justin Allgaier has had a winless season this year. He really has not put together or executed the entire year.
Right.
this weekend, went out there, started tail of the field, and drove his way to second place within, you know, 80 laps. The 7 car found something, and they found speed at Texas. Now, does that translate over to Phoenix? Not necessarily, but it can. I think that the 7 car is going in with momentum, and they could be a spoiler in this championship.
Yeah, they could. All
they got to do is the 7's got to execute, get into victory lane at Phoenix, and you know, we've seen the 9 car end as the champion the past couple years. JGR has got a solid notebook, or JGR Junior Motorsports has got a solid notebook.
Yep.
You know, at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Yeah.
We've seen William Byron go out there and get the championship. We've seen Tyler Reddick go out there and get the championship last year on the top side. And I don't foresee the 9. The 9 is kind of stumbling a little bit with Noah Gregson. But I think that the 7 is kind of the
2.
I think the 7 car is, you know, the dark horse in this championship.
You know, when you say Phoenix, which is coming up next, and you say Cup, and you take a look at what old Harv did today.
Yes.
It's got to be bad news for everybody in the field, wouldn't you say? Like, man, he was on fire today.
It does.
And going to go into a track that this guy is damn near unstoppable at.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see Harvick go out there and lay some numbers down at Phoenix. The last couple years, he hasn't been as dominant as what he was.
That's true. That's true. But he didn't come off of Texas
exactly
the way he's coming off today.
Yeah, but the other thing is now Harvick's locked into the final four. So
yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, everything that goes on over at Phoenix. I'm going to be glued to the TV next weekend. I love that race. I love that event, and it's going to be awesome.
I wonder, it's all 3 next weekend. We got trucks, Xfinity, and Cup.
Yep.
I wonder if we're going to see DJ Kennington maybe into a truck.
We're not.
How about Jason White?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder.
But
wonder, because that's where they surfaced last year.
Yep.
And Homestead, I do believe.
For sure.
At least DJ did.
Yep, they did. Yeah.
I wonder if we were going to see anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think that we're going to see DJ. I know for a fact that we're not going to see DJ in a truck or in a car over there from everything that he has said. Now, he has pulled rabbits out of the hat before.
Always, yeah.
But
he's done it with a couple days' notice, right?
It will be very interesting to see what we can put together and see who will be over there. But I don't foresee seeing DJ.
Well, you get to Phoenix. That's going to be a great race. Love watching them drop right down to that apron and cut the corner, so to speak. It sometimes creates havoc.
Yep.
And then other times it works out magic.
For sure.
Like watching that race, but when they get to Homestead and they start rim riding, I think back to last year watching Alex Labbe.
Yep.
And he was driving the 36 in the Xfinity Series and did a whale of a job. He had a top 20 in points going, and I was tuned into their radio traffic.
Yeah.
And the spotter was trying to get him to get up top.
Yeah.
Get up top, keep the momentum up. And Alex was trying to run low on the racetrack and trying to go the shortest way around.
Yep.
And the spotter said, okay, whatever you feel comfortable with, you do. And throughout the course of practice, Mario came on and said, Alex, I really like you to try up there.
Yep.
And he did a couple laps up there and bam, picked up a couple tenths.
For sure.
And yeah. Alex said, oh, hey, I'm going to run up top now.
Yeah.
And he ran up top. But they do rim ride. And I know the 2 years we were down there, you know, broadcasting live from Homestead and Ford Championship weekend. We do our thing through the day and then head out and watch the race. Leading into the night, watching another championship run. And I think back to the Xfinity race back then, it was the Nationwide Series. And those guys were glued to the fence.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where the momentum is.
Yeah.
You know, they parked that right rear quarter right up alongside the fence. And there's a tremendous amount of grip about 4 inches away from the wall.
Kyle Larson.
And, yeah,
Kyle absolutely. Larson close.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
And he's on a must-win situation now.
Yes, he is.
For him to advance, he's on a must-win.
Yep.
And if you're running the outside, he's got to be the best guy there is in the pit area.
If he can keep the right side on the car.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the
without
thing.
Grinding it down. That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you look at him and how good he is there, you know, there's been a tremendous amount of guys that are real good up top, but it seems like you know, you're very good up there for 80% of the race, and then all of a sudden you overstep that line just once. You get into the fence and you knock the right rear off the thing, and you're no longer as fast anymore. So the best guys that we see that make the most amount of speed up top are usually the guys who are going to end their day a little bit early
or slow down
a little bit towards the end. So you gotta watch a guy like Kevin Harvick or a guy like Martin Truex, because they can make speed up there. They know that they can, but they wait to use it. And they wait until the 25 to go mark and have at it. And they get right up against the wall and get after it. So I'm excited about the final two. I'm excited by the racing style that we've seen this weekend out of the Cup Series guys at Texas. They did a great job.
Yes.
And one of the best mile and a half races that I've watched in a long time. It's really interesting to see the dynamic and see how the air plays into it now. A little bit more like a Daytona or Talladega style race or an IndyCar style race at a mile and a half than it was, you know, with the high power, low downforce package. So,
sounds like it's sort of heading towards the Cole Pern side of ways here in the 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do the last two.
I think that they are.
They're going to surface.
They're a championship contender right
now.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be in good shape.
Anybody else that's going to be standout in the Cup Series that is maybe going to step out from that shadow?
I don't foresee. I think that the 19, the 4, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the 22 and the 11. That's your final four, okay. I think, for me.
Well, we're 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
Tell me, who's going to be our Monster Energy Cup Series champion?
If I had to put money on it, I would say the 19 of
the 19?
Martin Truex.
That's cool. Yeah. I like it, but I kind of think it's going to be Harv again.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. After seeing what I've seen today, but I guess if I would have looked at it last week,
yeah.
The 19 was the guy that was rocket quick.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I can guarantee you it's going to be very interesting.
It will for sure.
Yeah. I want to let you know, too, we had a MAV TV spot in our commercial break there. MAV TV is going to have a lot of great programming coming up through the off season. So you might want to get a hold of MAV TV, and you can do that with your TV provider. MAV TV, they did a lot of great racing, race broadcasts. They did it from Sweken this year. They've got a lot of really good programming coming up, and I know we're going to reach out to Mike Garrow from MAV TV and see if we can get him on the show and have a look into 2020. And find out what their plans are heading into the new year. And we'll find out what he's all got lined up for the off season to keep all of us entertained on MAV TV Canada. But he does a great job on that channel. It's been a great night. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I got to stop for 1 second and have a sip. Sorry about that. those radiation treatments really played hell about a year ago. And I needed to take a sip in Junior Split. So I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight on Race Time. We didn't get Cole Butcher, which is a shame. He had a great start to the weekend. Unfortunately, it only went 10 laps in to the All-American 400 at Nashville before the 53 car ended up smoking the wall in Turn 3 and ended his day. But Cole did take the pole for the race. So it was monumental for that 53 team. Atlantic Tilt Load, those guys just do an unbelievable job. And you got to know that Cole's luck is going to turn one of these days. We got to congratulate Brandon Watson for the job he did. And again, we got to say happy birthday to Caden Lapcevich. He was also down in Nashville. Didn't end up with the finish that he wanted, but he did have a car inside the trailer, according to the photo that I seen. And there was no wrinkles in it. So that's probably great news for Caden Lapcevich and for the Lapcevich family. I know those guys work awful hard at putting a car on a racetrack, Trayden and Caden. And, you know, there's still another one coming through. Yeah. We'll see as time unfolds here. Jeff's going to be one broke, busy dad. Anyway, I want to thank you all for tuning in. We'll hopefully be back with you again next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio, where we'll get a mixture of champions and we'll get you the latest in Canadian racing. And we'll, of course, talk about the chase and absolutely everything that we can fit into 2 hours. I did get an email, too. I got a chase one down. I had a caller that wants to hear from a guest, and I'm going to do it next week here on Racetime Radio. So if you got any suggestions on teams you want to hear from here on the program, make sure you email me and clue me in to who you want to hear, and we'll get them on the air. But that's going to do it for us tonight in the studio. Got to thank Susie Q here, Junior, and Scotty back in Toronto. And got to thank you for tuning in. Have a good one, everybody, and we'll catch you next Sunday right here on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.